Joining me now from TSN Edge, he covers all things NBA and Raptors. It is Wesley Chang. Wesley, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, let's start here with just sort of a big picture question. How the hell do you bet on the Raptors? Like, just the up and down nature of this team. Like, I'm now spooked. I'm now spooked betting on the Raptors.
You know what? That makes two of us. Here, like, the trend that has caught me a few weeks ago, we were writing this for the TSN Edge. We were spotlighting the fact that the Raptors, they were on a 10-game streak on the over. So they had this amazing run. This was right through Christmas all the way to the first week of January. The next seven games, they went under all the way up until the last two. So they've been really wishy-washy. It's been really hard. It's been really hard to be able to give a defined opinion about how they're playing night in, night out.
It is. Like I was having a good run. I think the only thing I've been doing well on, and the numbers have now changed, but I was betting the over on Siakam assists for ages, Scotty Barnes the over for his assists. That's kind of where I was that I was doing well on. But like, take the game tonight against the Bulls. You know, Bulls have been up and down, but they got Zach LaVine back. No Lonzo Ball, no Alex Caruso. It looks like Van Vliet and Barnes will play because they traveled. Your thoughts on this game? Bulls are a 4.5-point favorite at home against Toronto.
Especially if those two guys play. I think this is a very good spot for Toronto to take a statement game. Great win last night up against, obviously, former Raptor DeMar. But Chicago, they're right at the top of the standings, so they can definitely make an impact here. The line's at 3.5, as you mentioned earlier in the broadcast. This is a good spot for Toronto to take another one on the road. But I think they're very well matched, these two teams. So it's really hard to say whether there's an edge one way or the other.
Yeah. So, I mean, and for me, I've been seeing it from 3.5 to 4 to as high as 4.5 for the Bulls. But I think this is a game I just kind of stay to the side and then maybe. And the thing is, I'd like to do prop bets, but I don't see any for the Raptors-Bulls. Of course, I'd want to take the overs for DeRozan, just playing against his old team, and Van Vliet because he's had a little bit of rest, but I can't find player prop bets anywhere.
I think they're waiting for Toronto PR to list the actual injury news for the players that are outstanding, and then once that actually gets in, they'll update it. Just right now, they're going to keep everything off the board until they actually have a feel for who's in and out of the lineup.
Do you think we'll ever see a day, because there's so much more money now coming in and teams and leagues are aligning themselves with the FanDuels of the world, where there's more pressure on these teams and these coaches to be like, hey, give us your injury report a little bit earlier because our customers want to start betting earlier?
I mean, if some of this information doesn't give the opponent an advantage by having it, you know, listed 6 hours ahead of game time, I think you got to think about, you know, the sporting world in general as an entertainment product. The people who are watching it, it matters to them to know this information ahead of time. So again, if there's no advantage, I don't see any harm in doing that. It just further enhances the consumer experience from the fan standpoint.
Yeah, it would certainly enhance my experience of it right now. Anyway, joined by Wesley Chang, you can see his work, read his work at TSN Edge, and let's go around the NBA and what we've seen the last little bit, and what are the bigger picture implications. You did a video about it, about the Mavs and their game against Golden State. What is the betting perspective in terms of what that game meant? Where Golden State, that had been really struggling, Dallas was one of the best defenses last month or so, and the Warriors put up 130 in a 130-92 win.
Yeah, so that's the point. This game was up against two of the best defenses in the entire league. Dallas has been the NBA's best defense since the beginning of December, and that's like not even a question. Their net rating differential between them and Golden State, who is the number two team, is the same as like number two all the way to number nine. So they're really in a class of their own in this last stretch. And then Golden State, from a season-long perspective, they've really actually been winning on the defensive end. So funnily enough, you think Steph Curry, three-point shooting, Flash Bros, all that, it actually hasn't been the offensive end for Golden State. So
yeah,
it was a really good game to go the under, but I actually hesitated to bet it because Golden State just does this thing for statement games at home. They always wake up, and they did. You saw how it worked out. Dallas now, I mean, obviously the night ended earlier for both Porzingis and Doncic, but Dallas, not a great, supposed to be a good defensive team, not a great showing for them against Golden State, whereas Golden State, season long, they've been very strong, and they held it together even without Draymond Green in the lineup.
Yeah, that is a good point. When you hold Dallas to 92 and Draymond, yes, still out, that's a good point. I didn't thought about that. What do you make of Steph Curry? And this is kind of coming from the player prop bet. We all, like, listen, most of us, we love betting overs. We love betting Steph. We all love Steph Curry. We want to bet Steph Curry. He's shooting 29% from three in January.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if for the really sharp, for the really sharp bettors, one thing I kind of like to point out about the NBA is the challenge with NBA is sometimes you and I, we have to pick, hey, is this player going to wake up for this game, for that game? And predicting when a, you know, a highly skilled or talented player decides to really bring it that night, it's tough to really have an angle on that. Whereas this drought for Curry is a very interesting one because he's so talented, you think like, oh, he'll figure it out for sure. He'll figure it out for sure. This could very well be one of the worst shooting slumps of his entire career. And so one of the things that I like to spotlight when it comes to betting player props, overs, and unders, are there guys in the league sometimes where, I mean, basketball is a very, it's a rhythmic sport. You either have it or you don't sometimes. Are there opportunities like this Steph Curry drought right now, other players in the league as well, where you can go attack them on the under and know, oh, I'm watching this guy play. You know, he's just not getting his shots up. He's passing more than he's shooting because his confidence is down. Are there opportunities like that? And I mean, I'm sure anybody who has been betting the Curry slump right now will tell you it's been profitable to bet the unders. You know, it's easier to guess a guy who can't get it together versus having to predict when a talented player decides, oh, this is the game. I'm just going to decide to turn it on.
The weird one with this, and you're right, it's a, when, like, eventually Steph will get hot again. The key is when to jump on it at the right time and when to jump off the unders at the right time. But the strange thing is, you know, he has more help this year than last year, and Klay Thompson is back. Like, last year, he, you know, made like five threes a game at 40% clip. Like, I think that's the part that's confusing everyone. We assumed, oh, Klay Thompson is back, less defense on Steph. It should it make his shooting percentage even better, and it hasn't happened.
You know, my angle, my take on what's happened for Steph Curry, it's obviously his own shooting touch. That's an issue. Draymond Green, he's been gone for almost 10 games now, which is the same period that Steph Curry is slumping.
Oh, the screening, the screening action.
And the playmaking, just playmaking.
Yeah.
Like Steph is not, he is not the conductor of this offense. It's Draymond. Draymond gets everything in motion. Steph is the beneficiary at the end of it. He's the finisher. Dre sets everything up, screens, sets up the pass, backdoor, whatever it is. Curry's the one who can finish the play. But Dre is setting everything up, and he's been gone for 10 games. And there is, I think there's absolutely correlation between the two.
I love it. See, the interesting thing there is you usually think, okay, Draymond Green comes back, let's start betting the unders. And maybe you do, but maybe you start betting the overs for the Golden State Warrior team totals and individual prop bets that with Draymond, don't just think about the defense, think about what he does on the offense. I hadn't considered that, Wesley. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond, he doesn't score himself, right? So it's very easy to look at him as like, oh, he doesn't do anything on offense. But, you know, the reality is he is the conductor. He gets everybody in motion. He gets people moving. He picks who to come off screen. So that's really on him. And I think his absence is actually showing up in the win-loss column for a reason.
What are the gambling implications of Anthony Davis coming back for the Lakers? He was on a minutes restriction. He didn't put up a lot. The Lakers win. LeBron looked great, but it was Brooklyn at home, which is a disadvantage for them. It's James Harden and whoever else. But just a bigger picture with the Lakers with the West, is there? There might not be any. Is there any gambling implications with Anthony Davis and his return?
They're going to win more games, obviously, with him back. He's, you know, top 15, top 20 player in the NBA. It's just a matter of how the market sets the line for whatever it is, whatever matchup that they do have. They were plus four last night. They covered. And like you said, Brooklyn, not a good team at home. They're traditionally doing really poor this year. It's been a trend. I think Anthony Davis will help them continue to win more games. I just don't know whether or not it's enough for them to join the Elite Four in the top of the West. I think all the way to the end of the season, the Lakers at best will probably finish fifth.
Man, God, I would love to see the 5-4 matchup in the playoffs. Hey, yeah. in terms of just prop bets, Suns Jazz tonight. It looks like Rudy Gobert out, Donovan Mitchell, both of them out for the Utah Jazz. And I'm just going on this game script of Bogdanovich for the Utah Jazz. I'm taking the over of him making 2.5 three-pointers. I'm getting that at +122. I'll take the over of points of 21.5. And then this one, he's not like a big turnover guy. He's not Westbrook. But I wonder, heavier minutes, more responsibility, ball in his hand at +146, over 2.5 turnovers. Your thoughts on this player prop bet for maybe the NBA game of the night?
Yeah, Bob Donovan.
You can disagree.
Yeah, he definitely has way more scoring responsibility, especially when Mitchell is out. One thing is they have slowed down. They've slowed down a ton since Mitchell has been gone with due to concussion protocols. The first three games that Mitchell was out, the Jazz, which are traditionally actually a pretty up-and-down team, they dropped to dead last in pace in these last three games when Mitchell's been sidelined. So I think just overall the game might be slower than you'd expect. I actually bet the under on the same game the night before, except the Utah Scrubs somehow went 8-for-13 from three-point range. Nobody could miss a shot, and they covered the over. But I actually think with this lineup back in place, I think it reverts back to a slower paced game than it was the other night.
All right. Good to know. And then to me, the other easy one, Chris Paul, double-double, -117. Thoughts?
He's on a burner right now. I think this is one of those ones. Just ride the trend. Just keep going. You know, if you watch how he's playing, he's really just in full control right now. What I love the most, especially as a Toronto fan, is he's really getting the guys like JaVale McGee and Bismack Biyombo really involved in the offense. And I just love to see it. You know, he's doing a really good job getting everybody involved. Bismack, you know, give him his flowers. He's looking awesome during this kind of resurgence in his career with the Suns.
Yep. No, it's true. And it's funny, the first time I saw Bismack, I'm like, hey, look, Bismack's back in the league. It was one of those.
Exactly.
You know what?
To his credit, I was saying this with the staff. He looks great. He's actually worked on a few things that, like, some shots that you would have never dared. You would have never expected him to shoot when he was on the Raptors. Suddenly, he's putting up 20-point games. It's real. It's not actually a fluke. Like, he's got some pretty good new tricks in the bag, I would say.
Wesley, always appreciate. Where can people find your work, my friend?
Everything you'll find is on the TSN Edge website. So go on, check out our videos, check out our articles. We got a lot of good content coming out of there from the team.
Absolutely. Hey, Wesley, thank you so much for joining the show. I imagine we'll see even more from you when the NFL is done, then the gambling machine starts to look at the NBA even more so than what they do now. So I imagine there'll be even more coming from you. All the best, my friend.
Hey, likewise. Thanks, Matt.
Take care. Wesley Chang from TSN Edge.